CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. FedGov Today, Francis Rose, the host of FedGov Today, his conversations with professionals in the government, in the federal government, the more than 2 million people, and very much attached to the federal government in Washington and across the country. I enjoy learning about what we're now told is going to be shut down depending upon how it goes in the U.S. Congress. So one of the things I'm learning from Francis, and there's a podcast twice a week, and the TV show is on Sunday morning, Channel 7 in the nation's capital, is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which Francis tells me I can shorten as GEOINT. Francis's conversation with Vice Admiral Frank Wentworth, extremely revelatory about what the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency does in this age of AI, quantum computing, commercial imagery, and all other manner of collecting intelligence information that can be used immediately by combatants. Francis, a very good evening to you. Your conversation with the Admiral was inspiring because I love maps, and that's what they do. It's not a map. It's real-time intelligence. Every morning, I will always think of this when it happens, at 8:45 a.m., every morning, all over the world, everybody reports in. What are they up to? What do they do? What's their mission, Francis? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program, as always. The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency says that its mission is, I'm quoting, to provide world-class geospatial intelligence and lead the global GEOINT enterprise. And the subset of that is another quote, the exploitation and analysis of imagery and geospatial information to describe, assess, and visually depict physical features and geographically referenced activities on the Earth, the entire Earth, I will add to that description. And the nature of NGA's work has changed dramatically over the last 10 or 15 years, especially. You know, it wasn't that long ago that to get pictures of the Earth was a proprietary thing. Now we all have access to that information on our phones, thanks in part to the federal government and NGA in particular. So their mission has changed over time. And that was one of the things that Admiral Wentworth was on the program to talk about, is what does GEOINT supremacy look like in terms of the technological place that we're at in 2023? And in terms of what the needs are of the United States military in particular, but the U.S. government as a whole, for that type of imagery information in 2023 and beyond. So the mission of NGA is to provide images, essentially, for the United States military to use. But the nature of that job has changed dramatically because of technology, John.
The Admiral used a phrase of art, a term of art, collection orchestration. And you asked the Admiral about commercial enterprises that are in competition, and his response was most helpful. How do they use commercial imagery?
Well, they use commercial imagery in a lot of the same ways that you and I do. If I want to see what a vacation spot looks like, I can look at the satellite imagery. If they want to see what the landscape looks like of a particular area of the world, they can use the satellite imagery, and they may use commercial satellite imagery, or they may use their own proprietary satellite imagery. And that's what I was referring to a moment ago about the nature of their mission changing. Their mission's changing because they may not need to do all of the things that they need to do. They don't need to own all the satellites. They don't need to manage all of that data. They just need to, as the Admiral said, be more thoughtful about how they manage it and collate it and then disseminate it, how they compile it for use all across the Defense Department.
I have to contribute iStation Zebra here, because I thought about it the whole time you were talking to the Admiral. iStation Zebra was a movie with Rock Hudson, Ernest Borgnine, and Patrick McGoohan about exactly what we're talking about, except that it was early days of satellites. The U.S. had put a satellite up that used actually a camera to take pictures of, we presume, Soviet nuclear weapons bases. And the satellite, off course, came down in the Arctic. And it was a race to get it between Soviet forces and Rock Hudson's submarine with a spy on board. Fabulous movie. What's also important about it is that Howard Hughes, the fabulously wealthy aviator, at the end of his life in, I believe, the DR, but I'm not sure, somewhere in the Caribbean, in a hospital bed, had that movie playing over and over and over again. It was a revelation of his final days. He was so gripped by this idea. Howard Hughes would approve of what I learned from Admiral Whitworth. This was his vision through Ice Station Zebra. Today, however, the Admiral has technology to challenge him. What are they going to do about AI? How are they going to handle it?
Artificial intelligence is tremendously important, especially for that collation of the images that they're collecting. All parts of the Defense Department, NGA is no exception, are collecting more and more data in all forms than they ever have before. He used the term deluge. A lot of people in the government space in Washington use that term about the data that is coming at the government, not just coming to the government. And so artificial intelligence, people in the GEOINT community as a whole, and Admiral and Whitworth in particular, expect to AI to be just an incredibly valuable tool to do all kinds of things. Point out anomalies where something is included in an image that's not expected to be there, to detect all kinds of things that a human couldn't do. And then also for the volume, AI will be able to look at these images, analyze these images in such a quantity with such speed that humans could literally never physically get to. And that those are some of the ways that they expect to see AI really dramatically change the way that the federal government does not just GEO in particular, but does intelligence work more broadly.
The shutdown, we're told repeatedly there is again a shutdown imminent of the U.S. government because actions not taken or actions not followed through in Congress. You spoke with a veteran of shutdowns who is no longer at the Department of Homeland Security, Soraya Correa. What did you learn from her about how they're preparing for a shutdown if it happens?
Yes, yeah, Soraya Correa is a former senior procurement executive, chief procurement officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And she was there during the 2018 shutdown that lasted 36 days. And her number one piece of advice to people who are preparing for a potential shutdown this Saturday at midnight is to just mainly communicate, in short, to let the contractors that the department is dealing with, whatever department that may be, what is about to happen to the contracts. There are some that will continue where the expectation is that they'll continue to work. There's language in some contracts that even in a lapse of appropriations, which is kind of the euphemism that the government uses for a shutdown, that work will continue, that those employees of the contractor are expected to continue to show up for work, even though they're technically not going to get paid during the period of time that the shutdown lasts. There are a lot of complications here, but her number one piece of advice is communicate, communicate, communicate.
Yes, she talks about the risk of losing people. What did that mean? They go away, they don't get paid, they quit?
Well, federal employees and contractors won't receive money from the government. Now, the contractors are in a bit of a different boat because what we've seen during previous government shutdowns is the contractors have the ability to basically run their businesses however they choose to. They won't get paid during that shutdown. They will wind up getting paid after the shutdown ends, whenever that may be. So they know eventually they'll see that money. The larger companies have enough margin for error that they are able to pay their employees in order that those employees will stay. But during the 2018 shutdown, like I said, which was 36 days, I heard a number of stories from small businesses that are really operating contract to contract where their employees would leave. They would say to the employee, listen, we're not going to be able to do the next payroll because we're not going to receive our money from the government, and the employees would move on. And there was a fair amount of churn in the small business community, especially that serves the federal government during that last shutdown in 2018.
There's something about this shutdown that feels very familiar. We do this every so many months. Has anything changed? Did you learn from Soraya they've learned how to do this or sort of automatically? Oh, here we go again.
Well, not just from Soraya, yes, from her, but not only from her. That's becoming the prevailing attitude. When I first got into this space, say 17 or 18 years ago, people kind of ran around when the shutdown possibility presented itself and got really excited about it and went kind of crazy. And there's sadly, I think, really kind of a matter of fact attitude. It has been so many times right. that this has happened that it seems like it's kind of become the way of doing things, John.
Francis Rose, FedGov Today is the podcast twice a week. His conversations with professionals in and formerly in the federal government, his TV show on Sunday morning on Channel 7, the nation's capital. And important to clarify, the movie is 1968, Ice Station Zebra. Alistair MacLean wrote the novel, starring Rock Hudson, Ernest Borgnine, Patrick McGoohan, and the great Jim Brown. I recommend. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.